Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Philippians 4:13. Psalm 121 verse 7. The Lord will protect you from all evil. He will guard your soul. Psalm 121 verse 7. The Lord will protect you from all evil. He will guard your soul. Psalm 121 verse 7. Proverbs 16:6. By occupation with the Lord, one avoids evil. Proverbs 16:6. By occupation with the Lord, one avoids evil. Proverbs 16:6. Would you open your Bibles this morning, please, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 5. We spend a moment in prayer before we begin our study today. We realize how important it is to be sure our hearts are in tune in order to properly receive the dissemination of God's Word. Out of all the many things you do in life, there's not anything more important than what you and I are doing right now. And that is to move our minds away from the various distractions of this world and focus our minds upon the eternal Word of God. We have before us today a magnificent passage of Scripture, 1 Thessalonians 3:5. In a few moments, we'll begin reading with the first verse of chapter 3 and read down through several of these verses. May we join in prayer, please. Father, we realize again today that we are saved by your matchless grace, that heaven is our eternal home. Life is short at the longest. We are here today because of the fact that you have graced us all out, made it possible for us to be here. We celebrate not only the freedom that we have in our nation, but we celebrate the freedom that we have in our souls as we are privileged today once again, to be in this auditorium, to have opportunity to study God's Word without any interference. We thank you for that magnificent gift and blessing. We pray that you will bless our nation, bless the born-again believers. We pray that there will be many others in coming days who will become aware of their need of Jesus Christ, accept him as their Lord and Savior, so that our pivot can be enlarged. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. If you will please go with me to the third chapter of 1 Thessalonians. We begin our reading with verse 1. Therefore, when we could endure it no longer, we thought it best to be left behind at Athens alone. And we sent Timothy, our brother, and God's fellow worker in the gospel of Christ, to strengthen and encourage you as to your faith. Please notice that verse 2 says, we sent Timothy, this is the Apostle Paul, to the Thessalonian believers. We sent Timothy, our brother, and God's fellow worker in the gospel of Christ, to strengthen and encourage you as to your faith. Verse 3, so that no man may be disturbed by these afflictions. For yourselves know that we have been destined for this. 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 4. For indeed, when we were with you, we kept telling you in advance that we were going to suffer affliction. And so it came to pass, as you know. Verse 5. For this reason, when I could endure it no longer, I also sent to find out about your faith, for fear that the tempter might have tempted you, and our labor should be in vain. Verse 6, But now that Timothy has come to us from you, has brought us good news of your faith and love, and that you always think kindly of us, longing to see us just as we also long to see you. Verse 7, for this reason, brethren, in all our distress and affliction, we were comforted about you through your faith. For now we really live if you stand firm in the Lord. Verse 9, for what thanks can we render to God for you in return, for all the joy with which we rejoice before our God on your account? As we night and day keep praying most earnestly that we may see your face and may complete what is lacking in your faith. On the screen now you see 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 5. I want to say at the outset of the message today, it is constantly a great concern and privilege for me to study God's Word and come to this particular place and communicate. Not anything greater than that. I'm sure that most of you are aware of the fact that we've been dealing with sin, Satan, and evil over a long period of time. I believe that some of you are aware of the fact that we've probably reached the point of spiritual indigestion, or maybe even spiritual anxiety over these subjects. Some perhaps even to the point of spiritual jitters or spiritual paralysis. But I found this word, and I thought it was interesting. Spiritual golly wobbles. Maybe that's a new word for your vocabulary. I'm aware of the fact that we've been dealing with these subjects. And perhaps we need to move on. And that's what we're going to do next Sunday. We're going to begin studying many, many aspects of the Holy Spirit. And I believe we're going to find it challenging and interesting indeed. The ministry of the Holy Spirit. Today, I want you to think in terms of these words. Temptation, personal weakness, and deception. While we're communicating today, if you find these words coming out, just remember that I mentioned them to you at the outset. Temptation, personal weakness, deception. The thing that we're concerned about today is being alert to the methods of Satan. Alert to Satan's methods. You remember we began reading with verse 1 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. And we find the Apostle Paul saying, we sent Timothy, our brother, and God's fellow worker in the gospel of Christ, to strengthen and encourage you in the faith. It's amazing to me to be able to see how the Spirit of God is using the Apostle Paul in writing to these Thessalonian believers, saying, we sent Timothy to strengthen and encourage you as to your faith. And then verse 5, for this reason, when I could endure it no longer, I also sent to find out about your faith, for fear that the tempter might have tempted you, and our labor would be in vain. If you'll notice on the back of your bulletin today, it's interesting to see what the German translation is. The first part of it is, therefore, as I could not stand it any longer. I love the way that expression is. The Apostle Paul came to the point where he said, I've come to a point in my life I can stand it no longer. I sent Timothy to find out about your faith. God has a plan for each one in this auditorium and every person listening to my voice who is a born-again believer. And the Apostle Paul in 1 Thessalonians 3:5, which you see on the screen, is giving to us a magnificent challenge. Paul says, therefore, I could no longer forbear. I could stand it no longer. I sent to know your faith. I sent to know your faith, to see where you stand, where you are in your Christian advance. I believe that that is exactly what God is saying for me to say to you today. Where are you? Where are we in our Christian advance? Are we aware of the fact that somehow the tempter, having tempted you, and if you yield to that temptation, then our labor is in vain? When I went to Colossians 1:16, I found, for by him were all things created, that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. This is a magnificent verse that you should record. For by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in the earth, visible, invisible, whether it be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. We must be aware of the fact that we're living in a world where Satan has so many different methods of distracting us, getting us off the major track. Satan is opposed to every individual's best interest in life. He is always opposed to our best interest. Through his role in introducing sin into the human race, as found in Genesis 3, Satan has gained the power of death, a power which Christ has broken through his crucifixion and resurrection. One of the things that's dawned on me is that over the years in communicating so many times, I've made reference to certain verses of Scripture, and I didn't read those verses. I just moved on. And I've been told by individuals that we ought to pause for a while and take a look at these verses. And as I come to this service again today, I'm aware of the fact that I have a number of verses of Scripture, and I will not take the time to look them all up and read them. But I challenge you to write the references. Methods. Of the various methods used by Satan in carrying out his evil work, none is more characteristic than the word temptation. When I go to the fourth chapter of the book of Matthew, I find that Jesus Christ himself was tempted. You probably have looked at that passage many times in Matthew chapter 4, Luke chapter 4. We discover that Satan was tempting the Lord Jesus Christ, and every time the temptation came, the Lord Jesus Christ gave an answer by saying, "It has been written. It has been written. It has been written." The verb there is the perfect tense verb, which continually says, it's been written in the past, consummated in the past. The result of that continues to this very present moment. And so we discover that Jesus Christ in these temptations in Matthew chapter 4 is using the Word of God to face the temptation. Of the various methods used by Satan in carrying out his evil work, none is more characteristic than temptation. Matthew chapter 4. Satan leads people into sin by various means. Sometimes he does it by direct suggestion, as in the case of Judas Iscariot. Sometimes through his agents, who disguise themselves as messengers of God. Notice what is being said here. Sometimes Satan comes on the scene as a messenger from God. 2 Thessalonians 2:9, 1 John 4:1. And sometimes through a person's own personal weakness. Perhaps you're seeing some of the words that I put up for you at the beginning. Satan tempted the Lord Jesus Christ directly, trying to lead him into compromise by promising him worldly authority and power. I refer to that in Matthew chapter 4. Now I see it in Luke chapter 4, verses 5, 6, 7, and 8. Along with his work of tempting mankind, Satan also delights in deception. Another word that I've given you at the beginning. His lying nature stands in bold contrast to the truth for which Christ stands. Did you notice what I'm saying here? His lying nature stands in bold contrast to the truth for which Christ stands. You can put it down, Satan is a liar. And many, many times he will make you and I think that things are right and good and wholesome, when in reality it is the opposite. The greatest falsehood which he uses so frequently is that good can be obtained by doing that which is wrong. This lie, apparent in practicality in all of his temptations. We notice here that Satan is the great deceiver. Satan is an expert at falsifying truth. The Apostle Paul had a lot to say about this in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Satan's methods are designed ultimately to silence the gospel. If our gospel be hid, it is hidden to those who are unsaved. He seeks to stop the spread of God's word. This is recorded in Matthew 13, 19, 1 Thessalonians 2, 17 and 18. When the gospel is preached, Satan tries to blind people's understanding so that they cannot grasp the meaning of the message. Are you seeing what we're trying to present today? At times, Satan opposes the work of God by violent means. We find that in Revelation 12, 13 through 17. We discover that Satan brings disorder in the physical world by afflicting human beings. We discover that so evidently in the life of Job, in Job chapters 1 and 2. In 2 Corinthians 12, 7, Hebrews 2, 14. Sometimes God allows him to afflict his people for purposes of correction. Did you notice what we're trying to say here? Oftentimes Satan brings disorder into the physical world by afflicting human beings. Sometimes God allows this to happen for the purpose of correction. But let me move rapidly to the word defeat. It's important for me to emphasize today that Satan is destined to fail in his continuing rebellion against God. It's amazing to me when I think about how Satan works, and I see it on every hand. Defeat. Satan is destined to fail in his continuing rebellion against God. His final defeat is predicted in the New Testament in these verses, Luke 10:18, John 12:31. You may want to write these down, Revelation 12:9, Revelation 20:10. You and I are on the winning side. Did you know that? If we're on the Lord's side, we're on the winning side. If we choose to disobey him and get on Satan's side, get out from under the control of the Spirit of God, out from under the control of the Word of God, then we're going to be defeated. But we have to understand that Satan is destined to fail in that continuing rebellion against God. His final defeat is predicted, and I repeat, in Luke 10:18, John 12:31, Revelation 12:9, Revelation 20:10. Most of us are aware of the fact that the death of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross is the basis for Satan's final defeat. This event was the grand climax to a sinless life during which Jesus triumphed over the enemy repeatedly. And I refer back to that Matthew passage, Luke passage. Notice, if you will, please, the final victory will come when Jesus Christ returns and Satan is cast into the lake of fire. That's revealed beautifully in the 20th chapter of Revelation. But let me also remind you that strength for a Christian victory over sin has also been provided by means of what Jesus Christ has done for us. We have assurance that the God of peace will crush Satan under his feet. Romans 16:20. Such victory depends on our will to offer resistance to Satan's temptations. The Apostle Paul had a lot to say about our responsibility as a believer in Ephesians chapter 4. And then over in 1 Peter chapter 5. To help Christians win this battle against Satan, God has provided the power of what we call the total work of Jesus Christ on the cross. I've been amazed over the years that we've given you a lot of different abbreviations. The total work of Christ on the cross. God has given us everything we need for victory. So help Christians win this battle against Satan. God has provided the power of the total work of Christ on the cross. Also, the continuing prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven for believers. Because when you go to Hebrews 7:25, we discover that the Lord Jesus Christ is concerned for us. The leading of the Holy Spirit in Galatians 5:16. And various weapons for spiritual warfare. The Apostle Paul discusses that in the 6th chapter of the book of Ephesians. That brings me to reality. Some people have trouble admitting the existence of such an enemy as Satan. Did you realize that? There are a lot of people who resist the idea of Satan, but his presence and activity are necessary to explain the problems of evil and suffering. The Bible makes it very plain that Satan exists and that his main work is to oppose the rule of God in the affairs of mankind. In these moments now, I would like for you to take your bulletin, open it, and look at the insert. We're going to spend a few moments here because I want you to see it. In your bulletin today is an insert. It's entitled Satan. Lucifer, created by God. In Psalm 148:5-6, and the passage which I read at the beginning, Colossians 1:16. What do we know about Lucifer? I have it on the screen now. Well, I have it on the page for you. The most beautiful angel became Satan because he disobeyed God. Ruler of fallen angels, Matthew 9:34. Highest of all angelic creatures. Notice, if you will, please, before his rebellion against God, Satan's name was Lucifer, which means son of the morning. Isaiah chapter 4, verse 12. Then we notice after his rebellion, he was given four designations which clearly define his wicked intentions. These are found in Revelation chapter 20. verse 2 and 12, verse 9. And he, strong angel, laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. Notice, if you will, in these passages of Scripture, we have four names. Dragon, serpent, devil, Satan. I've tried to define these briefly for you. Dragon, crafty. Serpent, subtle. Devil, accuser. Satan, adversary. Notice number two. His first sin was pride. Number three, he influenced one-third of the angels to go with him. Someone has asked, how many angels? And let me tell you, I would say to you that there are thousands and thousands and perhaps even millions of angels. I do not know. He influenced one-third of the angels to go with him. Number four, Satan is more powerful than any human being ever on earth. Number five, Satan stays busy trying to make his plan of evil work. You ought to look at that and remember that Satan is constantly at work. Number six, he's very successful because most people are not aware of his tricky ways. I'm doing this slowly. I'm doing this deliberately. I want you to see he's very successful because most people are not aware of his tricky ways. One of the things we try to do here from the pulpit is to communicate to you the message that God desires that we be in fellowship with our Lord. And consistently, daily, the recipient of spiritual fuel for our souls, that we might be triumphant and victorious on a day-by-day basis because Satan is very, very tricky. Number seven, we can only know his ways of evil if we know the mind of Jesus Christ. Very, very powerful statement. We can only know Satan's ways, and he has many ways of evil. The only way we can know his ways is to know the mind of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I'm happy that I can tell you, number eight, he will not always be successful. He will not always be successful. We have not done this in recent days, but in the past we've taken a look at the falls of Satan. There's the fall of Satan at the very beginning. There's the fall of Satan at the middle of the tribulation. There's the fall at the end. And we have it presented to us in Isaiah chapter 14 and Ezekiel chapter 28. We're not discussing this now, but I want you just to take a look. They are found, the falls of Satan, found in a logical sequence in Isaiah 14. The first fall is Isaiah 14, 13 and 14. The second fall is Isaiah 14, verse 12. The third fall is Isaiah 14, 15. We've analyzed this in the past. These are magnificent verses of Scripture. And all of us are aware of the fact that in Isaiah, we have presented to us the problem that this angel had. It was pride. It was presented to us in these verses with the personal pronoun used over and over and over again. That's the logical sequence in Isaiah 14. Fall 1, chapter 14, 13 and 14. Fall 2, chapter 14, verse 12. Fall 3, Isaiah 14, 15. But also we discover that when we go to the book of Ezekiel, we find the falls of Satan presented to us chronologically. Ezekiel 28, 15 is fall 1. Ezekiel 28, 16 is fall 2. And Ezekiel 28, 18 and 19, fall 3. The reason why I slowly and deliberately present this is because I trust that you will take this sheet with you and look this over, because all of us are aware of the fact that Satan does have his methods. The message today is alert. Become alert to Satan's methods. Now let's go back to our verse. We're going to look at it again. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 5. What I discover here is that the Apostle Paul is concerned about these Thessalonian believers. And he sends Timothy over to make a check because he is concerned about the fact that when the tempter comes and bombards them, if they're not careful, they can yield to the temptation of the tempter, and that the labor of the Apostle Paul would be in vain. Can you see what I'm saying today? I'm saying that God has given me a responsibility to love you and to communicate to you the importance of being aware that Satan does have his methods. And we have to be aware of it. May we bow for prayer, please. Father, we've come to the close of this session. We are being made aware of the fact that each and every day we have the responsibility of living our lives in proper relationship to our Savior Jesus Christ. We are aware of the fact that the labor can be in vain if we don't pay attention. We have to be alert. We have to be cognizant of the fact that we're living in a time when all of us can be distracted and we can be led astray. And we feel the concern that the Apostle Paul had here for the Thessalonian believers when he sent Timothy to do some inspection and to do some looking at these Thessalonian believers to discover whether they have been properly responding to the Word of God. Help us to respond properly. And Father, as we come now to these last moments of this service, we're aware of the fact that there may be someone hearing these words today who've never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. This would be such a wonderful time for them. They would have the ability to enjoy the freedom of the soul that is set free. We're thankful that Jesus Christ was willing to come to this earth as the God-man and go to the cross and die for the sins of the world. We're thankful not only for his death, but for his burial and resurrection and ascension and session, sitting at the Father's right hand now to make intercession, to save. We pray that there will be those who will accept you at this moment. We know that Jesus said, I am the way. There's no other way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. So we pray that there will be those who will trust you now. We thank you for every blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.